With Amex Gold, you can experience the gold standard. You get access to exceptional dining, plus 4x membership rewards points on eligible dining purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Cap applies. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Chris Canty is at it again. He's got the hot takes that make everyone do the talking, even us here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. Hit him up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. At Ian Fitz ESPN. He's a massive influencer. Go check it out. At Amber W Sports is how you find me as well. Before we get into Canty, though, Ian, I have to tell you what happened to me today.
Come on.
Because you and I had a conversation last night during Monday Night Football, because AJ Brown was on the sidelines. He was wearing the chains, and they were crazy diamond chains. You and I were having a conversation about the chains and how if we were that rich and famous, we just wear fake chains because nobody would be any wiser. And we were talking about fake engagement rings and how you have to draw the line at fake engagement rings. But yeah, do you tell
a brilliant
her?
Idea. If you're rich and famous, especially an athlete, like the chains that A.J. Brown had on Eagles wide receiver, I said it's got to be worth, you know, the price of a very expensive car, like a $100,000 automobile. And you went, no, that's like a $500,000 home around his neck.
Yeah, because there was two chains.
If they were real diamonds.
If they were real diamonds, not mezzanite, not some of these other stones that can look like diamonds. But if they're straight up diamonds, we're talking, I think, $500,000.
And that's where you had this brilliant idea and reminded me of something Charles Barkley told me years ago. And that is his advice to every young player coming into the NBA or NFL or whatever. If a professional athlete says to him, what's the best advice you can give me? He told him, you don't go buy six damn cars. You drive one at a time, right? So one, maybe two, that's it. You don't need six cars and you don't need a whole bunch of jewelry. You don't need it. And if you're going to get it, don't get the real stuff because nobody's going to know it.
No one's going to know it.
You said the exact same thing last night, not even knowing about that conversation. It triggered that memory after you said, and go ahead, for people who may have missed it, go ahead and repeat it.
So, well, we ended up having an entire conversation about also all the different types of fake jewelry that you can buy, because they make not just lab-grown diamonds and stuff, which are not fake, but that's a cheaper version of natural diamonds, but and these other stones like mezzanites and whatnot that you find. But they also make really, really good quality CZs that you can only see. You can only tell if you actually have jeweler equipment to tell that they're fake diamonds. So a lot of people do that. I read a stat today that like over 60% of engagement rings now sold in this country are not real diamonds or not naturally grown regular diamonds now. So there is a significant movement. And so you and I launched into a conversation though about, do you need to tell her? That's the caveat,
because
right?
You said there's a store
on Palm Beach when I lived
Go ahead. There was a store
that sold, their whole thing was really high quality CZ jewelry. So fake diamond jewelry, but again, that you could not tell with an eye. Nobody would ever know. And it was all set in gold and white gold and platinum. And so the real stuff. And there was a lot of engagement rings in this store. And the one caveat, and at the time that I lived in West Palm, I was dating my now husband. And I said to him, if you're ever doing that, you just tell me. Like, I'd be like, I'm good with it, but like, I need to know. Don't let me one day to go to an appraiser and then find out this bleep is fake. He did not end up going that route, by the way. I've gotten an appraisal. It's not that. But today, so we have this conversation last night. Today in the mail, I get an engagement ring. And it's one of these mezzanite engagement rings. It's very clearly not real diamonds. But it's an engagement ring, and it's like a decent looking engagement ring. And I'm thinking, who sent? There's no explanation. But here's the funnier thing. I was taking a nap at the time because, you know, 9.5 months pregnant, and I was taking a nap. I wake up, this engagement ring just sitting on my kitchen counter. I text my husband. I'm like, hey, who'd you buy a ring for, bro? Like, what is happening? And he's like, well, I was going to ask you the same thing. That showed up in the mail for you. And what was funny about that, though, is I'm thinking, okay, so your wife gets a ring that looks like an engagement ring in the mail, and you're so unbothered and unworried because I'm so pregnant right now that you just put it on the counter, throw the envelope away, and you keep it moving. I think I'm highly offended by that.
All right. There's a lot to unwrap here. Forget sports for a moment because there's a lot to get into. One, and by the way, you want to weigh in on this, go right ahead at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. He opened your mail. If I were to open my wife's mail, I might be castrated.
Really?
That's number one.
No, does all the mail opening in my house. Nobody send me sweet love letters.
Whatever.
It's not happening. My husband's reading it.
Everyone's mail is everyone's in my house.
In my house, it's everyone's mail. I could open his mail. He can open mine. But no, my husband's way more organized than me. He's the one that is on top of all the stuff that we need to take care of. So he opens the mail to make sure that the bills are paid and all that kind of stuff.
That's my wife. My wife handles everything. I am the Neanderthal. I am a moron. She is a genius. She has more degrees than I have letters in my name. So she your husband, my wife, yes. That's why probably why you and I are on this show together. Okay, there we go. That's part. Now,
I have a lot of degrees, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go on.
I don't. But anyway, I don't even open my daughter's mail. I mean, nothing. Zero. Zilch. That was one. Two, who was it from? So you said he threw the note away. Did he check?
No, so there was no note. There was just – it came in a package, and there was no note. It was just a ring. And – he threw the envelope that it came in away, the package that it came in away. So I had him.
I'd have gone dumpster diving and trying to figure out what creeper is sending me a really bad CZ engagement ring.
Right. So this is what ends up happening. But it was so odd because you and I had just had this conversation last night. So the timing was really weird. And I'm thinking, but how would somebody, first of all, have my address? That's always super creepy when somebody sends you something out of the, and this is what you do for a living. But then also my ring size. The ring fit me perfectly. It was my exact ring size.
So you did try it on.
Yeah, I did try it on. Yeah, but also it had the ring size on the ring. So I knew right when I looked at the ring, this is my actual ring size. How does somebody know my address and my ring size and also get this thing to me quick enough where we just talked about it last night and it would already be here? None of that is settling. So I had no idea what to make of this whole situation other than, again, the fact that my husband was so unthreatened.
That's a dude who's confident as hell, man.
I need to have this baby stat because this dude a little too comfortable. Okay, a little too comfortable when people are sending your wife engagement rings and you're like, whatever. She's not
that
doing anything.
So you have no earthly idea where it came from, who sent it. No
I
clue.
I end up doing research on it, and apparently it's a scam. It's a scam.
How?
The address is from Houston, Texas. It is a scam out of Houston, Texas. They send the ring, and the only thing that it comes with is a couple cards. It looks very official, like grading cards, like you would get with a piece of jewelry. It claims it's mezzanite, so it's not trying to claim it's like a real diamond or anything, but it's still claiming that it's, you know, real stone. And apparently, if you scan the barcodes or the shipping barcodes or whatever, they're trying to hack you. Is what I'm learning from these scams. So be very careful when things show up in the mail that nobody ordered. It was not somebody sending me. It was apparently not somebody proposing. I didn't mean when I texted my husband and I said, who'd you buy a ring for? You know, he said, well, I was going to ask you the same thing. Who bought you a ring? And I said, I have no idea, but it's not big enough for me to leave you for him. So he's off to a bad start, whoever it is.
You know what drives me insane is that whomever came up with this is really smart. I mean, just brilliant, right? This kind of a scam. Imagine if they use their brain powers for good and not evil.
And not evil in this world.
It is. I mean, what a – that one brilliant move, because I can't imagine how many people, how many young ladies out there are going, oh, this is awesome. You scan the damn – and next thing you know, all your bank info goes to some – dirt bag in his mom's basement ordering meatloaf, right? Who's just made, you know, just drained your account because he's an evil SOB.
Yeah.
But you didn't fall for it. Your husband, way too comfortable. Like, hey, somebody proposed to you. Congratulations. When are you having our kid? I mean, just way too nonchalant.
This baby's coming any day now. I am not at all worried about what's happening here. That was the funniest part to me.
Wow.
So be careful out there, though. If you get a ring in the mail from Houston, Texas, that looks like an engagement ring, it is a massive scam. That ain't it. So throw it away and move on with your lives. We were going to do Chris Canty's terrible takes here. But instead, I think we're going to hold on to that, put it in the pocket, and we're going to do some big deal, not a big deal. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Amber and Ian presented to you always by Progressive Insurance. Let's find out, as we always like to do on this show, what is a big deal and what is not a big deal. Let's hop to it.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hi, guys. Our friend Jonathan Zaslow is in Boston tonight.
Boston.
And
you can't just say Boston. You have to.
I don't have to do that. No, I don't think I have to do
Let's
that.
Go to the bar.
In Boston. Yeah, there you go. Go to a bar.
Park the car.
There you go.
No, I feel dirty now. So our friend Jonathan Zaslow, he's in Boston tonight, and he's at a Pearl Jam concert, another one. He's been to a lot of them. He's in the 20s.
I would say, I would say that he might be in the 30s now. I know he was at 27 or 28 a couple years ago. So I feel like this would put him into the 30s. I actually did text him to ask him which number this was for him.
Well, he's a little bit busy.
But he hasn't got back to me yet because he's a little busy. Yeah. Apparently really paying really good attention to a concert that he has now seen 30 times in a row.
Well, it's not the same.
He's in the middle of listening to Daughter right now. Let him be.
Anyway, Amber, big deal, not a big deal. Zaz has seen Pearl Jam like 100 times or something.
Yeah, this is not a big deal. He has an app on his phone, Ian, where he tracks every Pearl Jam concert that he's been to. That's how he keeps track of how many. It also gives him the set list, every set list that he's seen from Pearl Jam, which I don't know who cares about any music they've made since 1999, but apparently Jonathan Zaslow does, and maybe a few thousand other people who are with him witnessing them right now. There is no band or artist that I would follow around the country to see over 30 times. Is there for you? I guess I love concerts, but
I love music.
Give me something different.
But it's to see over 30 times. Willie Nelson in his prime, maybe Willie and Waylon, the Highwaymen, maybe like a dozen. But that's going back. I mean, I was a kid back then, or not a kid, but for the Highwaymen.
Went to a Willie Nelson concert when I was a kid backstage.
I've seen him three times, including the Mangy Moose in Teton Village out in Wyoming. That was amazing. Billy Bob's in Fort Worth, a smaller, intimate, little setting for the Redheaded Stranger. But for 30 times, I can't think of one. Now, my daughters, like both of them, would go see Morgan Wallen or Luke Combs like every week. I mean, they're at that stage. They love.
And I've been to both of those concerts. I really enjoyed both of those. I was supposed to go to Morgan Wallen again this year. I mean, I guess I could see myself going multiple times, but not like over 30. And also, I'm not touring the country going.
No,
I was going to go see Morgan Wallen when he was down here again. I'm not chasing these artists around. For that, it would need to be something new. I went and saw Adele in Vegas, and that's a really intimate show. That's a really cool experience. These people who are the headliners in Vegas, it's a totally unique experience for a concert. And I went last year and saw Adele. And then my girlfriend that I went with, she then went and saw Adele again, like 3 months later at the same venue. And I was like, no, I'm totally out. I'm not spending money on plane tickets and hotels and concert tickets to go see the same concert that we just saw 3 months ago, even if she changes up the set list. So.
But for people like Zaz, James, yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, they're in love with not just one piece of music, but a band. I get it. It's just not for me, but it's a big deal for Zaz.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's not one band that
I've seen a lot.
Like, I've seen a lot of bands a lot of times. Like, I think I've seen.
Widespread fans are that way, man. Dead fans back in the day.
Dead fans are still doing that.
That's what Zaz is like, though. He's like
a panic head.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, he's there with his son, to be clear. He's not.
That's cool.
But I think there's less drugs involved with Pearl Jam concerts.
Well, yeah, I would say probably.
You know, a Widespread concert, man. I mean, it smells like a monkey cage.
Some extracurricular activities going on at some of those other venues.
But you act like they're not like playing different things. It's not like the same.
It's not going to be that different, though. I mean,
they're going to play
the
new
set
music.
List for these bands. Like, it's not going to be that dramatically different.
Pearl Jam hasn't not put out new music. Like, they've been churning out albums.
And
you say,
nobody
cares about their new stuff.
I mean, they knocked it out of the park in the 90s.
Yeah. I'm not a Pearl Jam fan, so
and
I can't
then we realize
that
all their music sounds the same.
That's not fair.
Now it's been 25 years since
I don't think
prime.
That's fair at all. All right,
they all have the peanut butter in the throat thing.
What?
It's what Eddie Vedder does. He's got peanut
Moving
butter
on
stuck
in
his throat.
Yeah, we're getting stuck in peanut butter. Let's go.
You're just being a hater now. This is what you do best. So let's move on to my favorite topic, the Chiefs.
Oh.
6 years after releasing Kareem Hunt in the middle of the season, the Chiefs have signed the veteran running back to their practice squad. The Chiefs were looking for help at running back after starter Isaiah Pacheco broke a fibula in last week's game against the Bengals. The Chiefs selected Hunt in the third round in 2017, the same draft in which they drafted another guy who you might have heard of, Patrick Mahomes. Hunt had a big rookie season, rushing for a league-high 1,327 yards, and he caught 53 passes, and he scored 11 touchdowns. Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Kareem Hunt, back with the Chiefs.
Not a big deal. He's practice squad. He's behind, you know, Carson Cocky J. Steele and Samaje Perine, you know, so... And what's the latest on Clyde Edwards-Helaire? My guy, CHC, I know he had some issues, you know, as far as depression and whatnot, and he was very open about it. Is he on the practice squad? I don't even see him on the depth chart.
They put him on the PUP list.
On the PUP? Okay, there we go.
So, I think that means what, at least four, or is that six?
That's six, yeah.
So they did that before the season, so he's not back for another couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it's unclear if he's coming back. Apparently suffering from PTSD symptoms.
Yeah, from growing up and whatnot. He's one of my favorite players to cover in college in the last decade. But to me, yeah, not a big deal. He's a body that they need in practice.
Yeah, this is not a big deal at all. I was really surprised, though, to see that Kareem Hunt is not yet 30 years old. He's only 29 years old. I feel like we've been watching Kareem Hunt for a decade.
There was an issue with a hotel and a woman.
But yeah, this is not a big deal. I mean, this is just a depth move. Kareem Hunt's not the player that he certainly once was, and he's on the practice squad right now. James, are you excited? Do you think he's the savior? He's the piece that's going to get you past the Bengals in a postseason?
He's definitely going to be on the roster here within a week or so.
Well, that may
they don't
be
have
true.
Any, they don't have
but
any
how excited
backs.
Are you about that? I mean, I think it's fine. It's a body.
I think it's a pretty good move. I mean, he excelled there whenever he was there. He was
the best runner.
He was arguably
was
the best running
ago.
Back in the league. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's not going to be as explosive or whatever then or now as he was then. But I think it's a good move. He's definitely going to be on the roster here at some point. They only have two running backs, I think, right now. They have Perine and Carson Steele.
Carson Steele.
That's it. So unless they bring, I think they have a couple other guys on their practice squad. Unless they bring one of those other guys up instead, I think he might be on the roster by the time they go into week three here.
Not exactly going to be starting, though.
I don't think he'll start, but why wouldn't he get some usage if he's ready to go?
If he's ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know. But
we'll
I'm saying,
see.
Like, if he's ready
Even
to go, I don't
does,
know why they wouldn't.
You're talking a few snaps. I mean, you're not talking difference makers. So there's no way that you're going to make this a big deal, even if it's about the Kansas City
Chiefs.
You can't possibly turn it into a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal, but it's interesting. Interesting
it
to see what happens.
Is it, though? What else you got?
Rob Gronkowski, five-time Pro Bowler, future Hall of Famer, likes what he sees out of Brock Bowers. He said of Bowers, quote, he shows some promise of looking like this guy that's on the screen with us right now. He said on Tuesday's episode of Up and Adam Show, Gronk said that he agrees. Brock Bowers, I was a big fan of him when he was in Georgia. I feel like he's on track to be better than myself. I don't think he can dominate in the trenches the way I dominated in the trenches, but just overall, as a pass-catching tight end, I think he can surpass me in many situations. And we're a big deal, not a big deal. Gronk thinks Brock Bowers can be better than he is.
I like how he said, well, he could be better than me, and then he started walking it back, like the areas that Bowers could not actually be better than him. In the trenches is a pretty important piece to what Gronk used to do. I mean, listen, it's obviously a big deal to be co-signed, though, by one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. I mean, arguably the greatest in a lot of people's books. So if you're Brock Bowers, he's only 21 years old. I'm sure you feel very cool about that, Ian.
I caught holy hell when the Raiders took Brock Bowers because they drafted Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame the previous year in the second round. Brock Bowers was the best player on the board for the Raiders. Remember, we talked to GM Tom Telesco right afterward. After the Terrion Arnold, you know, whatever, flip a coin comment, which obviously he kind of made up. Not Terrion did, and maybe someone kind of tongue-in-cheek told him that. But Brock Bowers last week, 9 targets, 9 catches, 2 yards short of 100 yards. Mm-hmm. He is a remarkable talent, and he is going to be a Pro Bowl tight end 5, 6, 7 times in a 10, 12-year career. He is that talented and that dominant, and he has a whip-your-ass attitude.
He has racked up 156 receiving yards. That is the most of any tight end. It's also the 13th most right now amongst pass catchers in the entire NFL. Bowers has more receiving yards than Tyreek Hill does right now, than CeeDee Lamb does than Amon-Ra St. Brown does right now. So that's what he has done
last week.
Through the first, 9 catches last week. That's what he's done here through the first couple weeks of the season. And now he's gotten the stamp of approval from Gronk. So Brock Bowers is well on his way. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer. He's joining us next.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines. All from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Doing a lot of NFL on tonight's show. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. You can always hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. At Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. Let's switch gears there, though, and talk a little college ball. Ian had a chance to talk to Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer earlier today. And, of course, he started off with the hard-hitting questions.
You've been up north, Midwest, out west, and now you're in the deep south. Barbecue, coach, the difference when you go down to Bama, what's it like?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got to be really, really careful because I love food to begin with. And so when it's a good barbecue like we have here, you got to take it in moderation. So, it's really good down here, that's for sure. There's a lot of good food.
now you've gotten your feet wet. You've been there for more than a minute. What was the expectation coming in from an outside perspective compared to reality now being the head coach and moving your family to Alabama?
I would guess I'll say there's enough of an understanding of what Alabama is all about to where I tell you that I feel like there hasn't been a lot of crazy moments where it's different than what you expected. And this place is passionate. And, you know, if there was anything before I even got here, the day or so that led up to this opportunity and me chatting with people, it was just a reminder of that, that they gave me. And it's just been a lot of passion, a lot of love for this program, a lot of people who really just will do anything they can to support it. And, you know, we're now that we're into the season, just the energy and excitement that surrounds not just every game day, but every single day. I think I've been just so impressed with our players going back to even winter workouts, the focus that they have, how important they look at each day as far as their development, their growth. They have high aspirations as a team, but they also have high aspirations individually. And you see that come out in just how they're driven. They're just not, you know, one day on, one day off. It's every day they're on and wanting to be their best. And, you know, you see that in the locker room at halftime when you're up, you know, big and, you know, some teams, you know, maybe kind of just get through the second half and these guys just want to go out there and be their best. A lot of guys that are extremely, extremely deeply motivated for sure.
Kellen DeBoer, head coach, Alabama. They are undefeated in the bye week. They get Georgia coming up in the, at Bryant Denny coming up next weekend. He's here with us on ESPN Radio and Amber and Ian. And, you know, coach, you know, after, as I mentioned, 3-0, you're through 3 weeks. And let's go big picture. What does a coach look to learn about their team after 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think we've had a little bit of everything. We've had a game where we came out hot and did a nice job doing what we should do in week one. I think we had a game, you know, in week two where we played well at times and especially late, but there was just enough mistakes that really, really made it hard on us. And we learned a lot from that. And I think every season, every team, it doesn't matter if you've been at a place for 5 years or you're in your first year. I think those things do happen. And, you know, I was glad that we were able to get through that moment against South Florida, maybe not be at our best, learn a lot. And, you know, we'll remember that. And then being able to really be locked in and go on our first road trip and experience that here this last week at Wisconsin and come out and just play a consistent, solid game. I know we need to be better and we will be better, but it was a good step in the right direction.
This is one that during the offseason was circled, a projected top five matchup. And it is a top five matchup. Certain games feel a little different on the schedule. What is a marquee matchup like this? We know game day is probably going to be there. I mean, it's going to be primetime, ABC. What separates games like this from others from a coaching perspective?
Well, I think for us, it's our first SEC game too, you know, and yeah. One to get off on a good start and knowing that, you know, this is been a game that's many times been played in the conference championship, a game that, you know, if it was played in the regular season, mattered for, you know, getting to the conference championship and winning it. There is a lot. Obviously, you know, it means a lot for us as with it being the first game here in the SEC schedule. So it is at home for us. So that's exciting. You know, we want to, you know, protect our home turf. That's something that's been done successfully for many years here, and that's something I know that's important to me and our team. So a lot of those things, but, you know, we can't get crazy, you know, and do things completely different just because of all those things that make this certainly a big game. But, you know, we understand the heightened level of attention, the heightened level of importance that comes along with it.
What's the most difficult task in what you just said? Not trying to overdo anything, not trying to do anything different, just doing what you do best.
Yeah, for me, it's trying to take everything off of the team, let them focus on the main thing, and that's putting a game plan together from the staff's end of things, the players really being able to focus on that, focus on, you know, what they got to do with their bodies to get themselves right, the execution and practice. For me, it's trying to take all the extracurricular stuff that surrounds games that have a lot of attention. And there's things that our, especially our kind of our star players are going to have to do, you know, when it comes to media and so forth. And that's awesome. That's a great position to be in. But just trying to take all that off of them so that they can, you know, go about a week as normal as possible and have that preparation that seems consistent with, you know, what it takes to be successful on a Saturday.
The head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer, here with us on ESPN Radio. And, you know, Coach, on that part right there, the extracurricular stuff, how do you handle, in this world we live in today, the instant reaction that comes to your team, whether it's they will try and tear you down or heap praise upon you?
Yeah, you just got to be very level-headed with everything. You know, you always try to say, hey, avoid the noise and you know, don't pay attention to it. But there, you do any interview and you can hear through the questions what is being talked about even outward, even if you were remote from everything that's being said. So, you know, that's helpful for me to understand what these guys are hearing and be able to address it and offset those things. There's a lot. And I always just, you know, like I kind of alluded to earlier, I think of it as a positive. There's a lot of people would love to be in these guys' shoes, our shoes as a program. And so, you know, you embrace it. You embrace the good that comes with the things that maybe get critiqued a little bit stronger, or maybe people really don't know, you know, what's the why of why something's done. And that's all fair. I mean, that's people's jobs to do that in a lot of cases. And that's what makes it exciting, is for people to follow our program. And you take the things that are a little tougher along with the things that are really good.
Last one, Coach, and we greatly appreciate your time here on ESPN Radio. You're always phenomenal on big picture stuff in college football. What's it like trying to get a team to gel in the portal era that we live in?
Yeah, I think it comes down to being really good with getting the right guys in, first of all, and understanding, you know, what your culture is. And that's tricky as a first-year coach, but I think we did understand a lot about our team quickly. Understood a lot about the guys that we brought on into our program. There's four in particular, you know, that are here that were with me beforehand. And so I understood what those guys were all about. And then the others that came in, I think, you know, they're just rock solid kids, you know, and it fit the culture of, you know, of hard work, you know, team first mindset, just a lot of things that are important to us. And that's the key, is to make sure you have the right people. You know, transfers who come in, they, you know, are coming for a reason. They feel like winning, you know, at a place like ours is something they want to be a part of. They maybe sometimes there's a playing time or a gelling of the schemes that, you know, didn't happen, or changes at the previous program. And for us, it's each and every day, just, you know, I don't like it when people talk about re-recruiting, because to me, your day-to-day work and your day-to-day relationships and the way you support your guys and the way they support each other makes them feel like this is the place they need to be. And, you know, I hope that the experience they have here helps them understand that, you know, this was meant to be for them to be here. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, are not as simple as I'm probably making it. There's other factors, and the portal, you know, does have a time and place for, I think, a lot of the situations that do pop up with changes maybe to the situation these kids are in. So we're just doing our best to enjoy moments, enjoy each other, build strong relationships, and have success in the field.
Coach, now you got to get a couple guys healthy. Best of luck in the bye and preparing for Georgia next weekend. And Archibald's Barbecue, if you haven't had it yet, I highly recommend it. As an Alabama grad, Archibald's Barbecue, get after it, get a three-point stance, fire off an attack, Coach. Thank you so much for your time,
I've
as always. You've had it.
I've had it, and I know I'll have it again. So, yeah.
That's it, so, man. Watch that waistline. Yeah, it'll get you. Coach, thank you so much. Come away healthy.
All right. Appreciate it. Roll Tide.
A man can coach, Amber. He can coach. And I love the way he said, I hate hearing – the term re-recruit your own roster. You're not re-recruiting. You're just developing relationships. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been, at Sioux Falls, at Washington, at Fresno State, and now undefeated at Bama with a bye week. Georgia on the horizon. That is going to be a showdown next week in Tuscaloosa.
It is a tough one.
And our tailgate will be there at my old pub.
That is true. Well, I won't be. I'm very sad about that.
You ain't traveling.
I'm trying to have a baby instead. I'm very sad, though, that I'm not getting to hit up your old pub there in Tuscaloosa.
We'll put you on scholarship.
Tune in for baseball action tonight as the Padres host the Astros. Coverage begins at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, why is Tennessee jacking up ticket prices? We'll get into that next.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod at checkout.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
I think most of us anyways, maybe not everybody, maybe not those involved in navigating the landscape of college football, but I think most of us on the outside looking in are happy that collegiate athletes have the ability now to get paid through name, image, and likeness, Ian, and might be headed into a world here where they can also get paid from the universities or the athletic departments themselves. But you may not be as happy when you start feeling it in your own pocketbook, which is what's about to happen at Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's crushing it this season. They've got a very good football team. And I feel like it's no coincidence that this news comes out now, frankly, while they're playing on top of the world, because maybe they think that they could kind of survive this little news dump here. But apparently, Tennessee is going to be charging a 10% talent fee on tickets next season to help pay athletes as part of their new revenue sharing plan that is in fact set to begin in 2025. The university shared the news with football season ticket holders via email today, which included an impassioned 4-minute video from their AD, Danny White, telling fans that the talent fee and other strategies were part of an extensive plan to continue our dominance in college athletics and build something like we've never seen before. In addition to the 10% increase on all ticket invoices, Ian, season tickets and single game purchases, as well as donations for those seats, Tennessee will add an average increase of 4.5% on all football tickets. Here's the deal. To pay athletes, the fans are about to chip in. Your thoughts?
Not surprised. And guess what? Tennessee fans, to be back in national title contention, they pay even more. They would offer up their firstborn. That's the SEC. You grew up in it. I grew up in it. They do not give a damn. 10%. That's it. Are we contending?
That's a lot. But I mean, that is a lot. I agree with you. And
they don't care.
These
boosters do not care
at these schools. I mean, the tens of millions and hundreds of millions that some of these boosters are willing to donate to these athletic departments. We've seen that. This isn't that. This is the average person, right?
Yeah, this is Joe Smith, Mary
student,
Smith. Yes.
Right. This is the student
Mary
absorbing
Jane.
The cost. This is the person just out of undergrad absorbing the cost, who's just trying to sit in the nosebleeds and watch a Volunteers game. And now that's going to cost them 10% more. That's pretty significant. I mean, that's a significant hike for most people.
It is. And guess what? If you don't want to pay it, somebody else will. If you know, Bill Smith and Mary Jane don't feel like they can afford the 10% hike, there is a long, long, long orange and white line right behind them that would be more than happy to go and pay that 10%. Do I like it? No, but I think it's a pretty ingenious move by Tennessee because they know that fan base is – look, let me tell you a quick story about Tennessee. Last year, we're our crew, Mark Kestisher, Kelly Stauffer, and myself, where it was A&M at Tennessee. Tennessee's ranked like 12th in the country. And we're doing a Google map of, you know, just like where this restaurant is that we're going to eat for our Friday night meal. And on Google Maps, it shows goalposts, or Tennessee volunteer goalposts in the lake. You know where that's from? When Tennessee beat Alabama, they took the goalposts out of Neyland Stadium, out of it, marched it down the street, and dumped the damn thing in the river, right? Right in the river where they sailgate, which is that's an amazing scene. That the damn goalposts are on Google Maps. That is the obsession that is SEC football. Not just SEC, that is the obsession of Ohio State. That is the obsession of Oregon, that of Notre Dame, Michigan, all the blue bloods, all those logo schools. I guarantee you, Amber, you're going to have chancellors and presidents at all the schools I just mentioned, and then some looking at Tennessee going, huh, yeah.
Oh, I have no doubt.
They'll pay it.
And people will pay it, and people will still show up. I do wonder, though, if how greedy it appears. And just because you can do it doesn't mean that it isn't a greedy move, right? Tennessee turned a $75 million profit in their athletic department just last year. $134.9 million in revenue, $59.1 million in expenses. That is a $75 million profit each and every year that Tennessee, under their current ticket structure, was already turning. So now you're charging the fan. Now you're charging mom and pop more to go see their favorite football team because you're worried about cutting into a $75 million profit.
But
opposed to just paying the players out of the $75 million you already make, which was sort of the entire purpose of the NCAA settlement and everything that we've done leading up to this point with NIL.
Here, the fans don't care about NIL. They don't, outside of who are we getting?
They don't care because they're not the ones paying for it. The boosters are. But now the fans are about to pay for revenue sharing.
And they won't care. You will have 110,000 in Neyland.
I think they're going to care. I think that those can be two different things, though. I do agree. You're still going to have 110,000 fans.
They're going to sell out.
They're going to care, though. They're going to be complaining.
Here's the other part, Amber. Not if they're winning. Here's the other part. Why did they turn a profit last year? They were losing money during the Dooley years and the Pruitt years. They turned a profit because they won.
The volunteers ever been losing money? I don't know about that. I doubt that.
They were some lean times. My point is, when you win, you build buildings. You change cities. Nick Saban transformed a town of Tuscaloosa into a city. There's a Rolex dealership in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Why? Nick Saban and football. He built a new business building, an engineering building, and when you win, Johnny Manziel in 1 year built an entire new, you know, side of Kyle Field, and it transformed
an entire
College Station.
Around these things.
That so 10% to college football fans, especially in that part of the country. Look, Bill might not want to pay it, but Mark will, and they will sell out every single game.
But I would say the stark difference with college sports is that increase in revenue and the increase in the economy that they bring locally when they are winning or when a certain athlete comes to your town isn't probably a huge advantage for the majority of people that are attending the games at Neyland because they're probably not living there. Right. And that's kind of a big
100%.
Difference. Like when LeBron came to Miami and I lived across the street from AAA, it was AAA at the time, the entire area of downtown Miami quite literally changed over those next 4 years that he was there in a way that, I mean, you can't even, there weren't even restaurants around me at the time. It was an up and coming area. And by the time LeBron went back to Cleveland, it was a completely different area and has since that time continued to grow. But you could argue the people of Miami are benefiting from that. We were all benefiting from it because the economy was growing around us. In college sports, we ain't living there. I'm not living in Gainesville when the economy's growing more and more. If we want another natty, I'm not in Gainesville. What's it doing for me? I'm just paying more for Gators tickets when I want to go.
And if you don't want to pay it, don't. Somebody else will.
Well, that's not necessarily a fair way of looking at it, though, when we're talking about these schools that are already making $75, $100 million in profit, and they want to pass that revenue sharing
off. Passing
the
hat like his church,
to the
baby.
People making $60,000 a year.
Here comes the offering. When the plate comes around, you can either offer up or just pass it to the next person, just like you're in church.
The SEC is wild. Neyland Stadium led the SEC in total home attendance last year with over 713,000 fans. They averaged over almost 102,000 fans per game there in Neyland Stadium.
And the goalposts
coming up. The Padres host the Astros right here on ESPN Radio, hopping off air a little bit early here on Amber and Ian. Thanks for listening.